Shakespeare's sonnets can also have a powerful emotional impact. Producer Judith Kampfner asked some members of the Royal Shakespeare Company to choose their favorite sonnets. And the actors were emphatic in their choices.
I was a bit of a cultural snob when I was growing up in London. I went to Shakespeare and poetry readings to rebel against my family, who liked musicals and sitcoms. In my book bag, I carried a velvet-bound pocket edition of Shakespeare's sonnets. I had a favourite one out of the 154, number 29. It begins self-pityingly, sweeping and melodramatic. When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone weep my outcast state,
and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy, contented least.
I've loved this sonnet since I was 14. Beweep and bootless cries, such strong sounds, so good for adolescent angst, frustration and rage. Apparently I wasn't alone. Harvard professor Helen Vendler, an expert on the 154 sonnets, agrees that in my day, sonnets were a tonic for teenagers.
People used not to take adolescent depression or rage seriously. It used to be that literature was about the only place where adolescents could find someone talking to them truly about the darker sides of their more powerful emotions.
I was reading myself into the poem, letting it give weight to and justify my feelings. I didn't care that it could be read as part of a sequence that told Shakespeare's triangular love story. It was my mantra, comforting and worldly wise. But Royal Shakespeare actor Nicholas Jones finds something completely different in it.
It's a triumph of the spirit over the mind. People mostly interpret this as being to do with a worldly love, but for me, Shakespeare is a great deal more than that. Longing for God or longing for elevation of spirit. And when that happens, all the problems of the world disappear. That's why I like it.
It seems many people get a strong sense of reassurance out of Shakespeare's sonnets. Claire Price is a new member of the Royal Shakespeare Company. And while Shakespeare is now very much part of her professional life, she chose to read one of the most popular sonnets, number 16, for deeply personal reasons.
Let me not the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. It's about love in all its entirety. I lost my father when I was quite young, and it's about loving beyond death, and it has great significance for me. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom.
The sense that a fidelity lasts unto the grave and beyond to a person with whom you have been close is behind that line. If she wants to apply that fidelity not to a friend but to her father, that's where it strikes her as being important. So that's a kind of taking a work as allegorical of your own state.
What might Shakespeare have to say to a young actor in today's experimental theatre scene in New York? Gregory Kayum, he calls himself GQ, is 23. He was one of the originators of Bombardy of Errors, a recent off-Broadway hip-hop hit that very loosely retold Shakespeare's story. GQ's favourite sonnet isn't one of the most well-known. It's number 9.
Is it for fear to wet a widow's eye that thou consum'st thyself in single life? Ah, if thou issueless shalt hap to die, the world will...
GQ sees this as a very contemporary urban sonnet about life's fragility.
This is really something that is unlike any other relationship he will ever see. It's unlike anything she will ever see. And if they don't take advantage of the opportunity to procreate, he could die tomorrow in a fight. He could die from getting sick, and he hasn't passed on his legacy. He hasn't passed on his blood. I'm at a point with a woman right now. I'm scaring myself by what I've seen in her and what I see in myself with her, to a point where I'm afraid to go there. That's somehow how this number 9 popped out to me. Is it your fear to wet a widow's eye that stays you single, so alone you lie? If by chance you miss the dance and die, the people only meet you halfway when they cry. The world is sadder still because you left no piece of you behind with us. You see, every little widow gonna be all right if she got kids to shed your light on a cold and lonely night. A man's money stays strong when that man is dead and gone, 'cause the world will keep it moving all around and on and on. Beauty? Whoa, cat, that's different altogether. See, if beauty dies untapped, we in for stormy weather. Take advantage of your potential for fusion with another, or live a pointless life and murder yourself, my brother.
For Studio 360, I'm Judith Kampfner.